Well, turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, we continue, of course, our study of the Paul's letter to the church at Rome. It's a powerful book. We've been seeing great truths that we can, really truths that we can not only grow as believers, but we can make an impact for Christ right now. We've been seeing, I think, the greatest chapter in the New Testament dealing with victory in the Christian life. Paul gives us truths and then charges us to make application in our lives. And as we move, or if we look at chapter 6, we see the key to victory in the Christian life is understanding our union with Jesus Christ. By faith in Christ. Now understand this. By faith in Jesus Christ, you are placed in union in Christ. In fact, the Bible says, any man be in Christ, we're a new creation. Understanding this powerful truth will help us to live a victorious life. Now, we began chapter 6 several weeks ago. And for you that have been gone all summer, we are glad that you're back. We can hardly wait for you to come back. And let me tell you what we did in chapter 6. We did this differently. As you know, it couldn't just help me go verse by verse, passage by passage. When we got to chapter 6, because the truth is so valuable there, what we did is we started and we gave an overview and went through all of chapter 6 on one Sunday. Put the whole thing together, a big overview. Then we started last week going verse by verse, and we started at verse 1 and went through verse 7. This week we're going to start at verse 8 and go through verse 14. And that's what we're doing, putting it together. But I want you to get, you've got to understand the big flow. So I'm going to give a review of that in just a little bit. The goal is from our study of Romans chapter 6, you would understand how we can have victory in the Christian life through what we see from Romans chapter 6. There's some great things there. Well, Prof. Howard Hendricks was my favorite professor at Dallas Seminary. He had great insight into the Word of God. He was also very practical in making applications of these truths. He used to say this, the goal of the study of the Word of God is, and many times people would immediately say, to know the Bible. You know, the goal, the whole purpose of you study the Bible is to know the Bible. And he would say, no. The goal of the study of the Word of God is application. We study it so we can know it, so then we can make application in our lives. Now realize how powerful we're understanding this end goal. Because when we study the Word of God, whether we study on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or one of our Bible studies or CBI or whatever it is, when you study it, the ultimate goal is that you would understand it and then you would make application in your life, that you would be changed, that we'd be changed, that we would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior. We understand knowledge by itself puffs up. 1 Corinthians says, knowledge puffs up. And sometimes if we just know truth and we don't live it out, we become arrogant, we become prideful. But knowledge plus application is wisdom. That's the key. Wisdom and growth. This morning as we continue in our study of Romans chapter 6, we're going to see Paul starts making application. He's been teaching about truths in the first part of the chapter, things that we should know. Well, now he's going to move to things, what should we do now that we know? That's sort of the key. We know that we died and rose again with Christ to a new life. I'll explain that for those who've been gone in just a minute. What now do we consider? What now do we present? The application part is the key to our victory in the Christian life. Well, let's begin with a review. And let me remind you of something. A lot of you, we would have started Romans, I think, before you left for the summer. But if you remember the book of Romans, chapters 1, 2, and part of 3 shows us a problem. We're sinners and we need a Savior. All of us in this room, whether bad, good, religious, doesn't make any difference, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Chapter 3 and chapter 4 show us the solution to the problem. That is that Jesus Christ came to this earth, died on the cross, paid for sin, and whoever believes in Him has eternal life. We're declared righteous and made righteous. Chapter 5 gives the result of salvation. We have peace with God, access to God, and the hope of God. Also at the end of chapter 5, he showed us our identification that either people are in Adam or in Christ. We come into this world in Adam. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're placed in Christ. When we move to chapter 6, chapter 6 and 7 go together because he's now dealing with Christian life. Up to this point in time, he's dealt with salvation. From this point on in the rest of the book of Romans, he's not going to deal with salvation issues anymore. He's going to deal with Christian life issues. Chapter 6 shows us how to have victory in the Christian life. Chapter 7 shows us the conflict in our Christian lives. Well, we're in chapter 6, and that's how the things fit together. Now, what we did, and just so you'll understand it, what we did about 2 to 3 weeks ago, we decided we'd do this. We started by looking at some terms, some key words in chapter 6 so we'd know them. Then we got an outline of the chapter. Then we got a big overview of the chapter. That's what we did that one Sunday morning. And then last time, we began going verse by verse. So I want to give you a quick review, put it together. I'll go fast. If you want more details, you can either download it from the internet, or you can get the tapes, or you can come by the office and ask me, Anyway, I'll show you all this in more detail than I can give you this morning on the things that we've seen. Let me first of all give you the terms. These are some terms from Romans chapter 6 that you need to understand. When you see a sin or sins, that's talking about rebellion against God, departure from God's character. That's just talking about personal sins. However, when you look at Romans chapter 6, you're going to see the word sin, and it's going to be singular. He'll say something like this: stop letting sin reign in your life, or shall we continue in sin? When he uses it that way, he's not talking about a personal sin. He's talking about the natural bent to sin, the flesh, the old nature, the part of us, the inside of us that naturally sins. We come into this world with a natural bent to do wrong. We have it all of our lives. As long as we're in this body, we're going to have this natural pull to do wrong. We do not have to teach people to do right. We do not have to teach people to do wrong. We have to teach them to do right. That's called sin. In this passage, when we see it, he's talking about our flesh, our natural bent to sin. He uses the word baptism, which the word literally, baptizo is the Greek word, means literally to dip or to identify. It's dealing with our union in Christ. When you look in this passage, he is not talking about water baptism. He's talking about the fact that when you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're actually placed in union in Christ. That's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You're actually placed in Christ. He uses it because we need to understand our union with Christ. When we believe in Him, we're placed and identified with Christ. We were in Adam, we're now in Christ. The Bible says, in Adam all die, in Christ all are made alive. So as you go through this Romans chapter 6, you need to understand especially the idea of sin, which means the natural bent to sin, our flesh, and that baptism means identification. Then the second thing that we did, and let's put the one which is the outline up. There it is. We divided Romans chapter 6 into two parts, verses 1 through 14, which shows we have freedom over sin because of our union with Christ. 15 through 23, we'll get to that in the next couple of weeks, shows that we choose to live in victory. He raises two questions. One in verse 1, shall we continue to live in sin? The answer is no. And when he says continue to live in sin, he's talking about the continue to live in the flesh. The answer is no. We have freedom from sin because of our union in Christ. Then he raises another question in verse 15, shall we sin because we're not under law? The answer is no. We must choose to live in victory. So when you think about the book of Romans and Romans chapter 6, the whole issue is how are we going to live as a believer? He's moved away from the Christian life aspect and he's dealing with our salvation. Now, there are three words that I gave for the last 3 weeks that if you will get these three words and you understand the flow of Romans chapter 6, from this day forward, you will be a changed person as far as how you live the Christian life. The three words are to know, to consider, and to present. And when we got the big overview of the book, overview of the chapter, I gave all three, but it's all throughout the chapter, and I want to put it to you. We know that we died and rose again with Christ. We consider that we're dead to sin and alive in Christ, and we present ourselves to God. That's the key, and we'll see that as we go through. If you put these three words together, let me tell you, if you do this and you understand Romans chapter 6, you will never be the same. You will not go on living a defeated Christian life. Because most of us do. Most Christians live a defeated Christian life. We get up, we sin. We go to 1 John 1:9 and we say, okay, I'm going to sin. That's my plan. I mean, I know I'm going to sin, so what do? I just be ready to confess it. Because 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's exactly right. That's a defeated way to look at the Christian life, though. Paul says, we don't have to continue living a life of sin. We can have victory. You know, you consider, you present. We'll see it as we go through. Let me give you, as I said, this is a powerful passage. I want to give you a brief overview of the passage. This is what we did several weeks ago. I'm going to do it very quickly, but I want you to see the flow of the passage. Here's what he says in Romans 6. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, you're placed in union with Christ. If any man be in Christ, they're a new creation. He says that we died and rose again with Christ to a new life. We're new people. When Jesus died on the cross, we died on the cross. When He was buried, we were buried. When He rose again, we rose again to a new life. He says we're new people. We're not who we used to be. We're a new creation in Christ. He says we know that. We know also that we have been freed from the flesh. We have victory. He goes on to say that since we know that we died and rose again with Christ and we're free from this pull of the flesh, we need to consider, we need to start thinking the right way that we're dead to sin and alive in Christ and we don't have to serve our flesh anymore. And then he gets to the third part. He says, and from that point on, we need to present, not present ourselves to the flesh, which results in sin, but present ourselves to God, which results in righteousness. So simply put, You know that you're a new person because you died and rose again with Christ. You're free from sin. You need to start thinking the right way and realize you don't have to obey your flesh any longer. And you need to begin presenting yourself to God and not to the flesh. That's Romans chapter 6. Now, what we did last week is we started going verse by verse through the passages. We saw the whole thing 2 weeks ago. Last week, we looked at verses 1 through 7. Let me remind you of what we saw because it deals with the first part, which is to know. To know you died and rose again with Christ. He starts off in verses 3 and 4 where he says this. He says, don't you know? Look at verse 3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized, identified in union into Jesus Christ, have been baptized in union into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him through baptism and union into his death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Now, you know what he's saying? When you put your faith in Christ, you're identifying Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. It is true that when you trusted Jesus, you were placed in Christ. As Jesus died on that cross, you died. As he was buried, you were buried. As he rose, you rose to a new life, to walk in newness of life. He says, don't you know that? And the truth is, we do know that. We're new people in Christ. Verse 5 says the same thing. For if we become united with him in the likeness of his death, we have, we died with him. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. We live with him. That's the key. The last part of the thing we saw last week, verses 6 and 7, is give us another truth. He says, knowing this, don't you know? Our old self was crucified. The old self is that flesh. The flesh has been put to death. That doesn't mean it's gone. It means its power over you has been broken. As a believer, you do not have to obey your flesh any longer. You don't have to. We do, and we can. And most of the time, we do, but we don't have to. He says, you died and rose again. You're a new person in Christ, and you've been set free from your flesh. That's what we know. As we continue this morning, we'll start at verse 8, and we'll go through verse 14, and we'll go fairly quickly. As we go through this, he's going to talk a little bit about knowing again, and then he's going to get those two other words. He's going to get consider, and he's going to get present, and we'll see how it works. Look what he says. Let's look at verse 8, because he tells us what we know, and he reminds us these great truths of our union with Christ. Verse 8. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. It's true. Did we die with Christ? Yes. When we trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, we're identified with him. And when he died, we died. If we died with him, and we did, we'll believe we shall also live with him. And we do. We died again to a new life. I think that's something that you got to grasp. You're not who you used to be. Before you put your faith in Christ as Savior, sinful, fallen human being controlled by the flesh. That's all we had. The moment you believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you die and rise again to a new life, a new person. Any man be in Christ, you're a new creation. You're a different person. You were dead, now you're alive. It says, if we die with Christ, we did. We believe we shall also live with him. Now here's what we know. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. We know that Jesus, that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Now, the greatest event in all history is the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oftentimes, people say things like this. You know, Jesus died for you on the cross. That's only half the message. He died and rose again. The resurrection is the key. Without resurrection, we have nothing. 1 Corinthians 15 says, if Jesus didn't rise from the dead, your sins aren't paid, haven't been paid for, and there is no victory over death. But Jesus did die and rise again, and our sins are paid for, and we have victory over death. That's why he says, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Now, we call the death and resurrection of Christ the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, Paul says, I make known to you the gospel. Verse 3 says, for I delivered to you of first importance, which I also received. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, and that he was buried and raised again on the third day, according to the Scripture. That's the death and resurrection of Christ. That's the gospel message. That's the key. And he says right here, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. He will never die again. He only died because he paid for our sins, because the wages of sin is death, so Jesus died for us. It says he's never going to die again. Why? Because no longer death has no longer master over him. He is the Lord of all. He's the Lord over death. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the resurrection and the life. In him is life. He's the life giver. He has victory over death. Death has no master over him, is what this says. We understand that when Jesus died and then rose again, he rose again to life, never to die again. Death no longer has master over him. He has conquered death. Notice, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Now, he's talking about Christ, but notice what it says. The death that he died to sin once for all. Now, the death that he died was to pay for our sins. The Bible tells us in Philippians that he left the glories of heaven to become a human being and then humbled himself to be obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. The death that he died. The only reason Jesus died was for us. Because animal sacrifices can't pay for our sins. Only a perfect human sacrifice can pay for the sins of human beings. So Jesus Christ, as the perfect human sacrifice, came and offered himself to die for us. So, for the death that he died, now I like how he puts this, he died to sin once for all. Do you realize that when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he took all our sins, past, present, future, every human being from all time, past, present, future, all sins. 1 Peter 2:24 says he bore in his body our sins when he was on the cross. 1 Peter 3:18 says Christ died for our sins, the just for the unjust. Notice carefully. He died to sin once for all. The once means one time. When he died on the cross, he was the final sacrifice for sin forever. He never has to die again because he's made the payment. And notice, once for all means all people. When Jesus died on that cross, he died for the sin of every human being for all time. That's why we call him the Savior. He's done it all. So he says, for the death that he died to sin once for all. He took care of it all. And then he says, but the life that he lives to God. See, he is the perfect Son of God who rose from the grave, and he came to do the will of the Father. So he lives for God, God the Father. Now here's the key, and listen carefully. We've got this union with Christ, remember? When we trust in him, we're placed in Christ. Listen to this. If Jesus Christ died and rose again, never to die again, having victory over sin and death, and lives forever for God, then we who are connected with Christ in union with him, we also died and rose again to a new life, gaining victory over sin and death, and live forever with God. That's based on our union with Christ. Do you realize who you are? I hope every one of you in this room have put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. If you have not, you can trust him right now, right where you're sitting. You can believe that he died for you and he gives you eternal life, and you can trust him and him alone, and you have salvation. All of us in this room who have trusted in Christ, do you realize who you are? You were dead in trespasses and sins. You were controlled by the flesh. But when you put your faith in Christ, you died with Christ, you were buried with Christ, you rose again to a new life. Death has no mastery over you. You are freed from sin, and you live forever with Jesus Christ. You are a new person. This is the no. Remember, the three words, no, consider, and present. The no is the first 10 verses. Know who you are. Now, let me tell you something. Knowing is not enough. Because we know a lot of stuff. We say, well, I know that, I know that, I know this. The issue is not what you know. It's what you live out. So Paul's very practical. So now he's told us what we know. He's going to change, and he's going to begin to say, now what you know, let's start living it out. And that's where he's going to get the next two words. One of them is the word consider, and the other word is the word present. Look at verse 11. I mean, just think about this. Because we have died and rose again with Christ to a new life, and we're free from sin, listen to what he says, verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Even so, consider this is true, that you died to sin, you're dead to sin, and you're alive in Christ Jesus. Now, the word consider in the Greek doesn't mean what we think. Well, we can't consider. Sometimes one of my girls will say, Daddy, can we do this? And will you consider it? And I go, yeah, okay, I'll think about it. That's what consider means. to us. This Greek word doesn't mean that. It's a banking term. It means to count as true. It means to take into account. It means to calculate it as truth. He says, now here's what you got to do. You got to calculate as true. You got to change your thinking. And you got to say, this is what's true. I'm dead to sin and I'm alive in Christ. It starts with your thinking. See, what you know is you died and rose again with Christ to a new life and you're free from sin. He says, now what you're going to have to do is you've got to change the way you think and you've got to start calculating as true, consider it true that you're dead to sin and alive in Christ. It's not what you feel. It's what's true. That's the key. In Jesus Christ, we died and rose again to a new life. We have to change our thinking. We don't have to obey our flesh any longer. You're dead to your flesh. Now, let me give this illustration. I gave it 2 weeks ago, but I want to give it to you again. Before I went to Dallas Seminary, I was at Mississippi State. I was on the football staff, and Coach Bob Tyler was the head football coach. And so I worked for him for about 8 years. And while I was there, Coach Tyler could say to me, JB, go out on the football field. I'd go out on the football field. But right before I went to Dallas Seminary, I resigned from Mississippi State. And for about 6 months before I went to seminary, I worked for a State Farm agent in the same town. So I had a new boss. What if Coach Tyler would have called me while I'm at my State Farm office and he says, JB, come on, I want you on the field. I could have said, I'm a coming, you know, and put down the phone and go to the field. But I don't work for Coach Tyler anymore. So what I would say is, thanks for calling, Coach, but I don't work for you anymore, so I don't have to come to the field. Our flesh says, hey, look over there, lie, cheat, steal, do this, do this, do this. And you know what we say? I don't work for you anymore. I died to you. I'm alive in Christ. Before I trusted in Jesus, I did what you said because that's all I had. But I'm a new creation in Christ. I died and rose again with Christ. I've been free from sin. I need to start calculating that I'm dead to you and I'm alive in Christ. And the next time you tell me, hey, look over there, I say, I don't work for you anymore. I don't have to obey you. None of us in this room who know Christ as Savior have to follow our flesh. We don't have to. That's what he's saying here. Consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Now watch the next, because it gets very, very practical. He said, now think about this. He says, therefore, since the fact is that you're dead to sin and alive in Christ, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Simply put, he says, do not let sin rule you, that you will follow after the lust of the flesh. That's what he's saying. Don't let sin. And by the way it says it literally in the Greek, it says stop letting sin rule in your life. Stop being controlled by your flesh. Every one of us in this room who know Christ as Savior, you got the pull to do wrong. You got the Holy Spirit inside you to do right. Now, the flesh is pulling you. And you know what he's saying is stop letting it rule you. Stop obeying. Remember, you died to it. You don't work for it anymore. You don't have to listen to your flesh. He says, stop letting sin reign. Stop letting it rule your life. There is a battle, Galatians 5:16-17. 5:17 says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to another. You got this battle inside. Every day of your life, you wake up, you walk, and your flesh is saying, do this, which is wrong. And the Holy Spirit is saying, based on the scripture, you do what's right. And he says, stop letting that flesh, that sin, pull in your body. Stop letting it rule your life. You don't have to. You don't have to yield to the flesh. He says, stop letting sin run in your mortal body that you should obey its lust. Now, every day you make choices, and you know who decides? You who decides whether you're going to walk in the spirit or walk in the flesh? You know who decides? You do. And I do. I decide if I'm going to live in the power of the Holy Spirit. I decide if I'm going to live in the flesh. Flesh is not going to let up. Just face it. You have that flesh until God changes this mortal body. And you're going to be pulled every day of your life. He says, you don't have to wake up and say, I'm going to sin, so I'll confess it. He says, stop letting sin run in your body. Remember, you died and rose again to a new life. Know who you are. Consider yourselves dead to sin and alive in Christ. That takes us to more practical now, because he gets to the third word. And the third word is to present. The word present means to yield. Look what he says in verse 13. This is the most practical part. He says, Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those who are alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Simply put, he says, don't present yourself to the flesh to sin. Present yourself to God for righteousness. That's what he says. Look what he says. Let me get you some details. He says, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. He says, don't present your body, your life, what he says, instruments of unrighteousness, tools. He says, don't use your body as a tool to sin. Don't let yourself sin. You don't have to. Why? Because you died and rose again. You're a new person in Christ. You don't have to obey the flesh. He says, so don't present. Don't go on presenting doing that. And then he goes on to say, but here's positive. Present yourself to God as those who are alive from the dead, because you are alive from the dead. You're a new person in Christ. Present yourself to God and your members as tools, instruments of righteousness. Simply put, don't present yourself to the flesh to sin. Present yourself to God to live righteously. That's what it's all about. You wake up in the morning, you know that you died and rose again with Christ. You're a new person. Sin has been defeated in your life. You consider the fact that you're dead to sin and alive in Christ, and you don't have to obey anymore. So what do? You then present yourself and say, God, take my body, my life, my actions, my thoughts, my money, my possessions, every part of me, take me and use me for your glory, for righteousness. I do not want to yield to my flesh, which results in sin. I want to yield to the Holy Spirit, to you inside me, which results in righteousness. Every one of us have the Holy Spirit inside of us who know Christ, and there's this battle, the flesh lusts against spirit, spirit against flesh. He says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You yield to God inside of you, you will live righteously. You yield to the flesh inside of you, you will live in sin. It's that simple. He's saying you can have victory in the Christian life by knowing who you are, by considering what's true, and by presenting yourself to God. He ends this, and I'll go very quickly. Verse 14, he says, puts it together. He says, so sin shall not be master over you. Sin's not your ruler. That's the flesh. It's not your ruler. For you're not under law, but you're under grace. You're not under some kind of law system which causes sin. You're under the grace of God. The grace of God is that you died and rose again with Christ. You're a new person. You don't have to be controlled by the flesh. Now, realize, we know we died and rose again with Christ to a new life. We count it as true. We calculate it that we're dead to sin, alive in Christ. We don't have to obey the flesh. And we go on presenting ourselves not to our flesh, but to God. Powerful truth. If you understand this, and if you make the applications, knowing, then considering, and then presenting, you will never be the same. You will begin to have victory in the Christian life. Let's look at some applications. They're very simple. First of all, know who you are in Christ. Know who we are. We died and rose again with Christ to a new life. We're new people. It's powerful. We're not who we used to be. We can't live the way we used to live. Our flesh has been put to death. We're freed from sin. We are new people in Christ too. Consider that we are dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Now, we died and rose again. We're new people. We got to consider. We got to think. We got to think the right way. And we got to calculate it as true that we don't have to obey the flesh anymore. You don't work for the flesh anymore. Just look at it that way. He's not your boss anymore. Your flesh is not your boss. Consider that you're dead to sin and you're alive in Christ. And that takes us to number three. Present yourselves to God, not to the flesh. That's going to be your big decision. That's our big decision every day. We have the choice to decide if we're going to have victory. He says, don't yield to the flesh, which results in sin, but yield to God inside of us. The result is righteousness. It's that simple. As we know that we died and rose with Christ to a new life and we're freed from sin, let us consider ourselves to be dead to sin, but alive in Christ. And then let us present ourselves to God so that we can have a victorious Christian life. May we today begin to have victory in our Christian lives. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for these great truths that we see in Romans chapter 6. Lord, I pray for each one of us in this room, first of all, that we know who we are. That we put our faith in Christ as Savior. We were dead, but now we're alive. We died and rose again with Christ to a new life, and we're freed from sin, and we have victory. And Lord, we then begin to consider, we begin to count it as true. Reckon it as true, as some would say, that we're dead to sin, alive in Christ, and we don't have to work for the flesh anymore. And so, Lord, may we every day not present ourselves to the flesh, which is sin, but present ourselves to you, which results in righteousness. May we have the victory. Lord, thank you for each one that is here. Please, Lord, help us to understand this and then use us to tell other people as well. Thank you for Jesus, for it's in His name we pray. Amen.